If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, I'm going to be starting in Matthew, and then I'm going to continue in Mark and also in Acts as well. Buddy Josh and I got to talking this week, and hopefully a lot of this is going to jive, so to speak. And we're going to continue the same theme as of Josh's lesson and try to look at another parable of Jesus. And really try to analyze and make applications through God's Word as to how we should live throughout our daily lives as Christians, and where we can strive for as long, building the kingdom of God that Christ established. I'd like to start out, especially after reading all this, just saying that I admire the art of farming. It's been instituted by God, and farming is the hardest, the most rewarding work that anyone can ever do. It's the core of sustaining our lives and in order to protect the most basic of human needs, our food supply. It's very simple, but also very complex. And most of our farmers rely on God to provide the increase. So if you'd like to turn with me to the 13th chapter of Matthew, we'll be looking at the parable of the wheat and tares. We'll be starting in verse 24 through 30. I'll make a little bit of application there. And then we'll see what Jesus has to say about it in verses 36 through 43. Starting in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also disappeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us to then go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So Jesus gives a parable here of a farmer who sows good seeds. But as every farmer knows, the world produces a lot of weeds. And we sow tares in his field so that when the grain began to disappear, the tares also sprouted. The word translated here is as tares or weeds in reference to the darnel. I looked this up yesterday. It's considered false wheat, so to speak. It is a wheat. It's similar to wheat, but its seeds are black, and they have absolutely no food quality whatsoever. And in its early stages of growing, it looks just like regular wheat, makes it very difficult to remove because you don't want to tear up the wheat and the weed, so to speak. And it's not until the plants are close to ripening that the difference is seen. And so the servants are confused by the appearance of the plants that have not been sown, but the master explains that they had done what was right, but an enemy sabotaged their efforts. The servants wanted to know if they should remove the false wheat immediately, but the master said to do so would damage the true wheat. So it was better to wait for the actual harvest and then separate the good from the bad. So when the harvest eventually comes, the false wheat is removed and destroyed, allowing the true wheat that remains to be easily harvested. Let's look at what Jesus had to say about this when he explained it to his disciples. If you look down in verse 30, starting in verse 36 and going through verse 43. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the righteous will shine forth as the Son of the King of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Another example we find is in Mark chapter 4. I'd like you to turn there as well. Starting in verse 26, this is another parable, and I'm going to make a few applications with this one as well. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle, because the harvest is coming." So as we know, the kingdom of God is representative of the church. That Jesus established, the body of Christ, the body of believers. And the man here represents the Christian. The Christian functions basically as a seed scatterer. And also we can take from this that we don't know how the gospel grows inside someone. We often say, you know, I planted a seed by speaking to them and encouraging them to where we can, you know, open the door for God to be working on their hearts through His Word. What we do know, though, is as Josh pointed out as well, that if the soil, which represents the heart of man, is good, then there'll be a ripe field to harvest later. So we, all of us, as those called by the gospel, have a significant role in the kingdom, that of seed scatterer, so sort of say. The gospel doesn't spread and the kingdom doesn't grow without us. So three points we can take away from this reading in Mark. We scatter seed. We spread the gospel. God causes the increase. We don't know the inner workings of how it's accomplished, much like farming, how crops grow. We don't know how it's done, but we know it is done. We reap the harvest of new Christians as well. We teach them to scatter seed. So some thoughts to be thinking about. One last thing. If you'd like to turn with me to Acts, last night I was going to stop the message there, but then I found several things online about Acts. I know a lot of you guys we like to see how many times something is said, and because it's super important. If God chooses to say certain things 15, 20, 30, 45 times in a chapter or in a book. But in Acts, we find multiple instances on how to spread the gospel and increase the kingdom that Jesus established. There are three phrases used significantly in Acts regarding spreading of the good news. The phrase "to evangelize" is used 15 times in Acts. And, you know, evangelism is just defined as preaching the gospel or converting or seeking to convert someone to Christianity. The second phrase is "to herald." It's used 8 times in Acts. And to herald, we're kind of unfamiliar with that. It's basically defined as an official messenger bringing news or a person or thing viewed as a sign that it's something's going to happen. But the most used phrase in Acts is to speak. It's basically to speak. The book of Acts records 60 times when different people simply told others about how God is working in their life, about the mighty works of God. So clearly the most used method to tell people about the gospel is just to simply speak to them about God in your life, whether it be to your friends, family, co-workers, or even complete strangers. There's three examples that I pulled up about someone just speaking to someone else about Christ, and obviously it worked in their heart enough to have something occur. If you'd like to turn to Acts 10, I'll be reading about Cornelius. Acts 10, 24 through 27 says, On the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So he actually called together all of his relatives and close friends, and they all gathered at his house to see Peter. So when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. So Cornelius had you know, done enough to get people to come to one location, family and friends, maybe even complete strangers, we don't know, and to hear Peter speak the gospel. Also, another example is Lydia, Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate, to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well. She urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. She prevailed upon us. The third and last scripture in Acts comes from Acts 16, verses 27 through 34. It's about the jailer, who was could have been somebody that Paul knew, but probably just a stranger. And a miraculous thing happened, as we know. Starting in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. I hope that you find these thoughts an example of edifying you today. I trust that each of us will benefit from studying more of these parables in the New Testament. I hope this is an encouragement to continue planting seeds and growing the kingdom of God through teaching of the word to others.